ghosts are here. The ghosts are here, needing to be fed with answers to the questions of the restless dead. There are dark thoughts circling in my head. I wish I'd listened to everything they said. The ghosts are here.
Welcome to the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast, which features tales from the Ghosts on Drugs short story anthology edited by High Bender and Will Paoletto. Tonight's episode is Survivors by Patrick Hurley. It's performed by Caroline Cotter, PJ Sosco, Dana Watkins, and Grace Rex. Survivors by Patrick Hurley.
Come get some, motherfuckers!
Sadie pulls the trigger and blows two shamblers to smithereens. Another one moans behind her. With a faint air of nonchalance, she holsters the shotgun and pulls out her machete. Just as the shambler comes within striking distance, she swings the blade in a wide arc, decapitating it in a fountain of blood.
Fuck yeah!
Sadie, can you please not swear? You know that forces our sound guys to work overtime and at least try to look scared while you're dismembering those things.
Ain't nothing about slow-idiot shamblers that scare me, Nancy boy. Now silent stalkers can be a problem.
Nope, no ghosts in this episode, Sadie, but stay sharp.
Tell you what, asshole, you help him blast in these meatbags, then you can give me advice.
Okay, Sadie, just gift us with great footage for this week's episode. Give us some tears, and I promise your trailer will be chock full of your favorite traits.
After all the other contestants got killed on this reality TV show, ironically titled Survivors, people from all around the world obsessively watched Sadie Day overcome challenge after challenge, completely unaware that the doll-faced young woman possesses a malevolence and a mouth to make Satan blush. In the year 2037, Sadie laughs as she blasts another shambler to pieces.
Don't forget them fruit pies and at least three fine-looking things. Two gals, one guy, and have them wear leather collars.
You got it.
Better or it's your ass.
Suddenly, Sadie's face takes on an eerily realistic expression of girlish fear. Barry is always fascinated by the persona of innocence that she can call up at will. When she transforms into American Pie Sadie, her voice grows higher and her eyes well with tears. She becomes the girl who you want to take home to mom, the one who's lost so much yet finds the strength to survive. Most members of the crew admit that if they didn't know what Sadie was like in real life, they'd fall in love with her. She soon destroys the last of the shamblers.
Okay, Sadie, that's a wrap. Tomorrow we'll be silent stalkers in the Maid's Mansion, so you should probably get some sleep.
Fuck off, cocksucker.
Barry switches off his headset and whispers to himself.
I sort of want to murder her.
He's already arranged the three groupies for Sadie, as well as the usual assortment of mini pies, drugs, and booze that she consumes after a successful day of slaughter. He wonders how the hell she keeps her figure.
A real princess, isn't she?
Barry turns to see Network VP Nikki Streetwater stride towards him. Nikki is several levels above Barry in the chain of command and seldom sets foot on the set, so something is definitely up.
Don't get your panties in a bunch, Meldover. No one's getting fired or pre-cadavered. Your crew is doing a hell of a job. Drinks and dinner on the network tonight.
Hey, thanks, Nikki. We've been putting in some long hours and,
Wanted to talk to you about the finale.
How many ghosts are gonna be there? What, five silent stalkers is the record held by Sadie herself. You know more than that is too much for any one person.
Only three.
Okay. Whew, great.
But we've made some modifications to them.
What kind of modifications?
You'll see.
This week on the season finale of Survivors, young Sadie will revisit Decatur, Indiana to see what has become of her hometown. She will visit her high school, her favorite park, her old job, and her childhood home, where tragedy awaits.
Ain't gonna do it.
Can you at least try to not talk while you're having pie in your face? Anyway, according to your contract, you have to.
Fuck you!
What's the big deal? You made it out of there when it really counted. Now it's been swept over by the network. The only shamblers in there will be the ones we know about.
And fuck the network. I promised myself I'd never go back to that shithole.
you don't have a choice.
In a blink of an eye, Sadie pulls her machete from its quick-draw sheath at her thigh and presses it against Barry's throat, holding back just enough not to break skin. Though it might be his last moment on Earth, Barry can't help notice the puffiness in Sadie's face and how hollow and tired her eyes appear. Up close, she doesn't look like America's zombie-killing sweetheart. She looks spent down to her soul.
Tell me again I don't have a choice, bitch.
Of course you have a choice. Can you please put that thing away?
Maybe. Talk fast.
If you don't accept the script, the network will let you go.
They're fucking lost. I'll just work for somebody else. Lots of channels are hard in the pants to get a chance to film me.
Right, that's true, but your contract has a non-compete clause.
The fuck does that mean?
Legally, you can't work for anyone else for 7 years.
To Barry's astonishment, Sadie's face crumples. She lets out a sob and collapses onto her couch. Barry feels the instinct to put his arm around her and tell her everything's gonna be okay, but he doesn't want to lose his arm.
You know this is the last episode of the season, right? After this, you can take a nice long vacation.
Don't want to go back.
There won't be anything to worry about. Just a few shamblers. The suits want to capture your face when you see your hometown. They think it'll be great for ratings.
We both know they ain't just gonna have shamblers there, jackass. Bet there's silent stalkers up the wazoo.
Not according to what I was told. Simple sweep. In and out.
Sadie takes another pull of her Jack Daniels, then throws the bottle across the room. She hugs her knees to her chest.
How the fuck did they find that place anyway?
Sadie, it's the network.
For a long time, Sadie says nothing. Barry knows he should be enjoying this. He'll never make it into the upper echelons of show business without improving his vicious streak. So he grits his teeth and says,
Listen, Sadie, we all have our own shit to deal with, so how about you just do your fucking job?
Sadie looks at Barry the way a pit bull might look at a chihuahua that's challenged it to a fight. She releases her knees and lets out a surprised bark of laughter.
Fucking A, suppose you're right. Need to get the sand out of my vag and get this shit over with. Tell them assholes I'll do it.
Thank you.
I ain't finished. I'll do it, but I want $100,000 bonus plus 5% of the gross.
Sure. They'll agree to that.
One more thing. If you ever speak to me like that again, I will cut your balls off and make you eat them raw. Got that shit piece?
Yeah, I got it.
A week later in Decatur, Sadie looks wistfully at the abandoned drive-in movie theater. The camera captures the single tear running down her cheek, gleaming like a perfect pearl amidst a hauntingly devastated wasteland.
I had my first date here. Davy McIntyre was sort of a nerd, but he was so smart, so kind. The last time I saw him was the day of the rising.
The familiar moan of a shambler comes from one of the abandoned SUVs. Sadie walks up to it. Inside is a young boy recently risen, his hands pressed against the window of the car's back seat. Sadie doesn't go for the kill right away. As usual, Barry admires her showmanship, her face a picture of beatific mercy. She gently raises the shotgun and, turning away at the last moment, fires.
Cut feed! Sadie, that was perfect.
Don't tell me what I already know, shithead.
Sadie walks over to an empty parking spot and stares at it with visceral hatred. She suddenly fires her shotgun into the air.
I had my first fuck here when I was 13, sick piece of shit. I hope the stalkers ripped you to shreds. I hope you died slowly. I hope you felt every bite.
Barry says nothing. When Sadie erupts like this, there's only one way to get her to calm down. Putting his hand over the mic on his headset, he asks the crew,
We got any shamblers nearby?
They punch up heat signatures on satellite. Shamblers aren't as warm as the living, but whatever propels their rotting bodies, scientists believe it to be an extraterrestrial parasite, does give off some heat. The screen shows a small tribe of slightly gray bodies half a mile due west of Sadie's bright orange dot.
Herd them towards her. Give our princess an outlet.
The crew nods, and the speakers begin their high-pitched whirring. Shamblers mostly just wander around rotting, but they don't like high-pitched noises and shuffle slowly away from them. Sadie is still punching through the car window when she sees the shamblers stumble into the drive-in. A savage, mad grin lights up her face. Sadie goes through them like a force of nature, hacking arms and legs, decapitating heads, blasting torsos to pieces. It's the answer to Barry's question. This is how she keeps so fit, despite the fruit pies. Some bloggers accuse the network of faking Sadie's encounters with the dead, since her face is often obscured or in shadow as she performs her bloody work. The truth is, the show's editors cut clear shots of her face so the audience doesn't see the insane glow of delight that possesses Sadie while she butchers decaying bodies. When Sadie's finally done, she speaks into her mic.
Where to now, dipshit?
Last item on the to-do list is your childhood home, Sadie. Then we can pack it up.
Sadie closes her eyes. A rare look of uncertainty crosses her face.
What's waiting for me?
Some shamblers and probably a silent stalker or two.
There's been stalkers on my tail ever since I stepped foot in Crapville. What else, Barry?
It's maybe the third time Sadie has ever called Barry by his actual name. The crew in the control booth looks at him. Barry realizes they don't know either.
Sadie, I don't have any other intel for you.
Yeah, you do. What do I got waiting in there for me, Barry? You're my handler. Handle me.
Well, it's the season finale. Of course, they have something special cooked up. Three ghosts have been modified somehow. Nikki wouldn't give me the details. Just destroy them, Sadie. Then you're set for summer vacation.
Sadie nods and spits on the ground. Her face blossoms into American Pie brave determination. She pumps the shotgun, twirls her machete.
Let's do this.
Montage. Sadie sits in a chair. Sadie dispatches stalkers. A quaint trailer with a dilapidated garden in front.
We didn't have a lot of money growing up. Life was simple, but it was filled with love. Most days I spent playing with my brother on the tire swing or by the creek behind the house.
A tree with a long broken rope hanging from its branches, a tire laying on its side, a swampy creek in the background.
Mom and Dad did their best to take care of us.
A family portrait of Sadie with her mother, father, and brother. Sadie is obviously the beauty of the family, though you could tell her mother was once a looker before depression, poverty, and her husband Earl took their toll.
I was in high school the day of the rising, filling out college entrance applications.
The abandoned Decatur High has open lockers and wandering shamblers. Tears trickle down Sadie's sweet, innocent face.
I had to run and hide. My boyfriend Davy gave his life for me.
A picture of a handsome blonde boy. A Photoshop stock image since Davy McIntyre never existed.
This is my first time back. I'm so glad Survivors has given me the chance to achieve closure with my past. I know it'll be tough, but I'm eager to find peace.
Sadie moves forward carefully to her abandoned family trailer. The sky is bleak and gray as a brisk autumn wind howls.
My childhood home. Wait, something's not right.
A micro camera on Sadie's shoulder gives us her point of view. The front screen door has been torn off its hinges and is leaning against the porch railing. A wood door behind it is slightly ajar. Peering inside, Sadie sees mostly darkness. She listens for signs of movement, but hears only the wind. Looking around one more time, she heads into the trailer. Barry is amazed at the show Sadie is putting on. She pauses in all the right places and hits marks as if she's the director of a movie.
Impressive, isn't she?
Nikki, what are you doing here?
Tonight will be historic. I wanted to experience it live.
You've been in charge of lots of season finales. What's so special about this one?
Sooner or later, reporters are bound to do some digging and find out the truth about our Sadie. Her temper, her vulgarity, her disgusting eating habits. The audience is enraptured now, but once the press picks her apart, ratings will fall. Better she go out a martyr than down in scandal.
Barry sees Sadie head into the kitchen. The curtains are torn, the counters are covered in stains, and there are broken dishes and open drawers everywhere. Forcing himself to continue sounding calm, Barry speaks into the headset.
Yeah, sorry about your house being destroyed.
This is what the place usually looked like. I'm the only one who ever cleaned shit.
Barry shakes his head, then presses a button to put his headset on mute.
Yeah, Nikki, exactly what kind of modifications did you make to the ghosts?
R&D discovered that with the right viral cocktail, the silent stalker parasite can coexist with a semi-cognizant cerebral cortex. We can give ghosts partial sentience, memories, even speech, but, and here's the beauty part, they retain the homicidal frenzy.
With respect, that sounds kind of dangerous. What if the virus spreads?
Don't worry. We have everything under control.
Uh-huh.
In the trailer, a noise comes from a room down the narrow hall. Sadie's head jerks up, the shotgun in her hand already cocked. Nothing emerges from the door, but her attention never wavers.
Might as well come out now. I know you assholes been telling me since I got into town.
Barry wants to warn Sadie about the silent stalker creeping up behind her while she focuses on the ghost ahead, but Nikki is right next to him. Turns out it doesn't matter. Sadie knows about the ghost behind her and is just waiting for it to get close. An old trick of hers. Barry can almost feel the audience's hearts collectively stop as the silent stalker creeps on camera behind her. Sadie smiles grimly. Her hand gingerly slides down to the machete at her side. Just as the stalker reaches out, she spins, machete lashing out in a wide killing arc. Normally, this would result in a headless silent stalker. This time, though, the parabola of Sadie's blade comes to an abrupt, unexpected halt. She gives a horrified scream and drops the machete. The thing's back is to the camera. Sadie's mouth tries to form words, but can't. Then there's a voice, a terrible voice.
Die. Jesus, of all the possible test subjects, you chose Sadie's fucking family?
Fucking family is a good choice of words in this case. You should see this shit we managed to pull up on these assholes. It's like something out of Deliverance.
How did you even find them?
Turned out her mother was already a stalker. We had to reanimate her father with the parasite and serum. We also infected the brother who'd made it out alive.
Wait, what did you just...
Listen, not only will Sadie go out a martyr, we'll have a big bad for next season. Whoever we find to be the new star of Survivors will get to avenge her. The ratings will be fantastic.
Without Nikki noticing, Barry pushes the button to take his headset off mute, thinking maybe he can do something to help. But it's too late.
No, 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 no.
Sadie's mother's eyes glow yellow, surrounded by gray, rotten skin. In a horrible mockery of a family tableau, her father stands beside Sadie's mother, holding his wife's hand. His wide, gap-toothed, blood-spattered grin promises things that will make his daughter go mad.
I killed you. I watched you die. I fucking killed you.
Come on, girlie. Give that kiss.
As Sadie backs away from her parents, another syrupy voice calls out.
Shishi.
Sadie turns to see her rotten brother emerging from the bedroom hallway. He'd always been the clumsy one in the family, the one who tripped over things when he tried to sneak into her bedroom to... It's at this point that Sadie's mind snaps. Sadie's eyes roll up as she collapses to the ground in a sobbing heap. Living up to their name, the stalkers go silent and begin moving towards her. Barry isn't sure he can watch. He'd hoped Sadie would put up her usual fight, but the network's psych profilers have proven right. The sight of her family has shattered her. Nikki's face glows with the joy of a plan unfolding perfectly. Sadie's father reaches forward, his eyes filled with a dull curiosity. How much of him is in there and how much the parasites is anybody's guess. His rotting hand caresses her hair, nails drawing blood. If he'd stayed silent, it all might have ended there, but instead he lets out a horrifying wet giggle and says,
"My special girl."
Suddenly, Sadie's head jerks up. Barry has never seen such rage. Before her father can react, she kicks back into a roll, coming up with both shotgun and machete. She stands before her family, and the look on her face is neither American Pie Sadie nor Psycho Sadie. It's both.
I'm not your special girl.
The shotgun blast explodes her father's head into a thousand chunky pieces. Barry has to stop himself from cheering. Sadie turns to the ruin of her mother.
You were the worst, Mama.
For a second, her mother falters in her charge. Then her head is vaporized. Still silent, her brother tackles Sadie from behind. He's clumsy, though, and fails to get a solid grip. Graceful as a dancer, Sadie spins and flips him, causing him to crash through a table where they'd eaten together, where they'd watched their mama take meth and their daddy drink.
Son of a bitch.
Sadie loads another shell into the sawed-off. One pump. A pull trigger. And it's over. Something seems to leave Sadie then. She sags, almost falling over, and she bursts into tears.
Well, it didn't go quite as planned, but it was pretty spectacular anyway. I'll have PR create a package about the true nature of Sadie's parents and brother. The incest drama will push the ratings of this family reunion through the roof.
Sadie lifts herself up, walks out of the trailer, and looks towards the cameras.
Still more? Yes, I sense it.
What's she doing?
I have no idea. Dan, wherever she goes, keep those cameras rolling.
Sadie sniffs the air, looking again like a bloodhound on the hunt.
Yes, I sense it. Definitely at least one more of those sneaky and super dangerous talking stalkers.
Sadie starts moving in a zigzag pattern, as if unsure what direction to go in. Then her head turns with conviction. Abruptly, Sadie howls and begins running, straight at Barry. Before anyone can react, Sadie stops right in front of Barry, pulls out her machete, and in a single bold stroke, splits Nikki's head clean in two. Barry, splattered in gore, looks like he might faint.
Woo! That was close. Guess you didn't realize she'd been infected.
Barry continues staring, speechless. Bits of Nikki's brain begin tumbling down his shirt and tie.
I couldn't imagine a better finale than saving the life of my producer. It should make for monster ratings. Might even get you a promotion, seeing as a network spot just opened up.
But she wasn't...
Of course, maybe I miscounted. Maybe there's two suits who got infected.
She gives Barry a look that goes straight through him, and smiles sweetly. Barry holds his breath and considers. Then he reaches out for her hand and shakes it.
Thank you, Sadie Day, for saving my life. Thank God for you.
It was my pleasure and privilege, Barry. After all, you're not just my boss, you're my best friend.
Wearing her best American Pie face, Sadie humbly waves to the cameras and begins to walk away. Before moving out of earshot, she briefly looks back at Barry and whispers,
"See you next season, dickhead."
This has been the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast, which features tales from the Ghosts on Drugs short story anthology edited by High Bender and Will Paoletto. Please come haunt us again soon.
Ghost ride the whip.